For our reading this evening, I'd like to ask that we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 14. This would be a continuation of the reading from last Sunday morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word and let us... An authentic believer will certainly desire with all of his heart to be submissive to the Word of God, to be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that he might ever please the Lord who saved him. And so it's my prayer in this evening hour that as we consider yet again 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that we would be looking at it from the with an objective that we might, in obedience, submit ourselves to these teachings, to these exhortations, that we might be true before the Lord, that we might be authentic in our faith that we have in him, that it might be that we with great joy and anticipation would await the coming of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In this hymn that we opened the service with, in verse number 5, it says, by thy dear word, O guide us, in all that we need afford. Hear us, entreat thy favor, Lord God of Israel. Thy heavenly bread, O Savior, alone our wants can fill. So may it be that God will fulfill all of our needs, and that his dear word would guide us. That should be our objective, is that we are here this evening, hoping to remember some things here from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and that we might take something with us, or maybe more than just something, some things with us, that we might please our God, and that we might be in tune with him, that we might walk with him, that we might have fellowship with him, that we might be walking in his word. One thing I've come to realize here in this chapter is that the word brethren shows up many times in this chapter. In fact, it shows up 7 times in this chapter, which is speaking of us as a body of believers having close communion one with another with a desire to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be his. That's what brethren would do. Brethren would dwell in close community, in close communion one with another, with that objective to stir each other up, to walk in the ways of the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to please him well. Psalm 133 says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is a good thing that brethren would dwell together in unity, to please the Lord. It is good and pleasant in God's sight, but also for us who are brethren. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord hath commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. This is God's blessing. This is his desire, that we would have life even forevermore. And we can have that as brethren, all submitting ourselves to the word of God, being true to him, recognizing yet once again that we have a common God that we are serving. There is a common word that we are following. There is a common goal that we have. We all want to be in heaven together. And there is a common enemy that we all face. This enemy comes to each of us a little bit differently, but yet he is a common enemy to each and every one of us. He is an accuser of the brethren. And so let's consider this passage yet again with that mindset that we are brethren. We are here to dwell together in unity, to worship our God, and to glorify him together, having all these commonalities together, and then desiring to be authentic in our desire to submit ourselves to this precious word of God. So we begin here with verse number 14, where the Apostle Paul is writing, "Now we exhort you, brethren," so here's an instance of the word brethren, "warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Warn them that are unruly, brethren. Warn them that are stepping out of having that commonality of the desire to worship the Lord, of being part of this body of believers that loves the Lord, who desire to do their own thing or to go their own way. We are to warn them. There is an exhortation given that we should warn them that are unruly, knowing that a constant disobedience leads to destruction. A common desire to do our own thing will ultimately lead to destruction and to nothing good. And so there is a warning that should be given to those who would be unruly, who would want to step outside of this unity in the brethren that we have. He speaks also here of comforting the feeble-minded and supporting the weak. Again, earlier in the chapter, he was speaking that we should comfort one another. And here he's saying to comfort the feeble-minded and to support the weak. These are the things that we are being called to, and these are the things that we are to be yielded to, knowing that our strength comes from the Lord. And if we consider ourselves to be strong, then we ought to be looking to comfort those who would be feeble-minded, and to support the weak. In Romans chapter 15, we read, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." In other words, hold them up in their weaknesses, and not to please ourselves. It would be sad if we as brethren were together and know that one is weak, and we leave that weak soul to themselves and only please ourselves. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." Again, we are being called to edify one another. And if we are to do good to another for their edification, then we are to please them and not to please ourselves. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Christ in his strength came to us in our weakness. Again, as God has done unto us, we ought to do that one to another. And so we are to support the weak and comfort the feeble-minded. We are to help and to strengthen the brethren. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ..." Galatians chapter 6. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." When we go to help someone, we shouldn't think, "Oh, I am strong, so I'll submit, I'll bend down to you and help you." It shouldn't be that with that mindset. But we should have a spiritual mindset that if one would be overtaken in a fault, we should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, going to them and saying, maybe that unruliness is not something that you want to be involved in because it leads to destruction. And or perhaps to going to one who is weak in the mind or have a weakness that they struggle with, that we would go to them in that spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted, because we're all simply mere mortals. We're all walking in the flesh, but we all receive our strength from the Lord. Again, this commonality that we as brethren have together. And then he says, and then be patient toward all men. The Lord has created us all uniquely. No two of us have exactly the same personality and or have all the same likes or those types of things. And so, therefore, we are called to be patient toward all men. And this is now speaking even beyond the brethren, but that we are to be patient toward all men. It doesn't require patience when two would agree on most everything. There isn't a requirement for patience in such a scenario. But when two are different and two are view things that perhaps are a little bit different, the Bible here is calling us to be patient. To be patient with all men in our relationships one with another. The Bible also speaks of forbearing one with another. Again, if two agree on most everything, there's no requirement for forbearance. There's no need for it. What will you forbear if you agree on everything? But when there's a difference. And perhaps there's just different experiences in life that would bring us to different thoughts or different conclusions that are yet within the Word of God, that at that time that there would need to be forbearance shown and patience toward all men. This is walking in the Spirit. This is walking and being obedient to the Spirit, being obedient to the Word, and abiding together as brethren. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Again, now this is outside of the bounds of brethren. This is to all men, that we would not render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Again, as we prayed together, these are simple things. We all understand these things. We are to do good one to another. There's nothing difficult to understand about that. We are to do good one to another. We are to do good toward all men. This is what will make us to be ready for when the Lord comes. This is us walking in the day. This is us walking and having fellowship with the Lord. Is when we do good, both among ourselves and unto all men, not rendering evil for evil. Aren't we thankful that we serve a just God? A just God who, when evil is rendered unto us, and we don't retaliate with evil, but we can just say, we serve a just God. And we have complete faith in that we serve a just God. And know that He will equitably deal with all things that happened to all mankind throughout all generations, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. We have a just God. He will righteously judge all things that have all transpired. And so we are not to render evil for evil. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." This is the word of God. This is the word of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. This gives life. This is good and this is pleasant in the Lord's sight. And He wants to give us life. And so, whoever would smite us on our right cheek, we should turn to him the other also. Further, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." These are the words of Jesus Christ. If we follow as an authentic believer in the teachings of the Word of God, we will dwell in the light. Again, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoso followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus, who the Bible says, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And so we are to love our enemies. So he speaks here of four things. Love our enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. These four things we are to do as followers of the Lord. And when we do these things, when we know we have loved our enemies, when we know that we have done good to them, when we know that we have prayed for them and desired that God would help them to see their error, when we know that we have blessed those that have done harm to us, we will look forward to the Lord's return. When we hear that trumpet sound and he comes in the glory and the power of God with all the holy angels and in the clouds, when we see that, and it will come to pass, it will come to pass because the word of God says so. When we see that, we will have great joy in our hearts, great joy and great peace, great peace. We won't wish that we will have rendered evil for evil. We will be ashamed if we have rendered evil for evil when the Lord comes. The Apostle Peter also speaks of the same very same thing. Again, as brethren, and as not rendering evil for evil. Finally, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, meaning be full of pity toward all those who would be feeble-minded, those who would be weak, those who would render evil unto us. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. The blessings of the Lord come when we yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, when we yield ourselves to that voice that comes behind us into our ears saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Rich blessings from the Lord when we follow his words. Then these verses, one after another, is simply just bulleted items. Rejoice evermore. Again, we know what that means. There's nothing that needs to be explained on that. But these are simple truths that we know that we ought to apply ourselves to, live in, and bless the Lord. And have that blessings of the Lord as brethren, one with another. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord hath done great things for us. We have every reason to rejoice in the Lord. He has given unto us many good things. He is faithful, and we read in his word that we should be still and know that he is God. And in him we can rejoice. All is not lost. All is not lost. It never will be, because it's the Lord who rules and reigns. And so we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. We know that prayer is an integral part of a believer. Continually praying, continually having that communion, that communication with our Lord, knowing that he is there. He is not a God afar off. He is a God that is nigh. He is a God that's near, that we can speak to him. We can speak to him and know that he is there. We can pray, and we can pray at all times. Wherever we are at, whatever it is that we are doing, we can just simply utter a prayer with sincerity, with recognizing that God knows all things. What are some things that we could be praying for? Well, that we would be obedient to the Spirit, and follow these things that are written here in this chapter, that we would be sober-minded, that we would have faith, that we would have love, that we would have the hope of salvation, that we would comfort ourselves together, that we would edify one another, that we would esteem very highly those who are over us in the Lord, in love for their work's sake, and that we would be at peace with all men, and that we would do all these things. So these are some things that we could pray for, to walk in the Spirit, and to know that our carnal nature needs to be dead, for we are crucified with Christ, but he then lives in us by faith. And so when railing comes, we are walking in the Spirit, and we won't have that carnal reaction to render evil for evil. So we are to pray. Pray for grace. Pray for grace, knowing that we're just mere mortals. Yet God loves us. Yet the Almighty loves us. Yet God the Father sent his Son here upon this earth that we might have life. And he's granted unto us this grace, this unmerited favor, favor toward us in such an extreme way that he has showed his favor to us, that we might live. But this grace comes, as we read in God's word, only if we are meek. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And so if we humble ourselves, we know that grace can be given unto us, and we need grace. We need his divine favor continually, day after day, throughout our lives, even as the decades roll on. We need God's grace. And as we need God's grace, some of our prayers ought to be for the grace for others as well, that God would provide grace for all the brethren. We ought to pray for a humble heart that would be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Be obedient unto the promptings of the Holy Spirit. These are some things that we can pray for. We can pray for all the efforts that are done in the building of God's kingdom. There is much that is being done all the time in the building of God's kingdom. And we ought to be in prayer for those efforts. Some are formal formal roles that are done, but then there's a lot of informal roles that are also done in building the kingdom of God. In all instances, whatever it might be, whether it might be visibly shown much or always done in the background where no one even notices, but yet it's all done for the honor and the glory of the Lord in building his kingdom. We ought to pray for those efforts. Pray for those efforts. I don't believe that anything great in the building of God's kingdom was ever done without much prayer. Our prayers ought to be that God would use the brethren to build his kingdom, and that we can be a part of that. He says further, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." There is so much that we ought to be thankful for. God has been gracious and kind to us and has given unto us so many of his blessings. It's certainly disappointing when the giver of all good gifts gives his gifts and the recipient murmurs or complains. God is asking and desires that we would give thanks in everything. Whatever it is that comes our way, that we would be thankful. You know, I'm reminded of the 10 lepers that were healed as Jesus sent them to the chief priest or whoever they were being sent to, and only one turned around and came back to give God to give Jesus thanks, and Jesus makes a proclamation and says, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There's only one that has come to give God glory." Jesus didn't say that he came to give thanks, but when that leper that was cleansed came back and gave thanks, he was actually giving God glory. And so we give God glory, thanks, or we give God the glory when we give thanks, when we give thanks in everything. Quench not the Spirit. Jesus says that it was important for him to go so that the Comforter can come. And I guess I just want to read that verse. I'm saying it correctly. Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and then he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit will bring remembrance of the Word of God, of the Word of Jesus, to our minds. And so we are therefore not to quench the Spirit. And when the Spirit speaks to us and says, remember the things that are written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and how we are to live. And so we are not to quench the Spirit when he speaks to us. He's bringing forth the Word of God. He is bringing forth that which brings forth life. And I'm reminded now of the words of Jesus that we read here very recently, where Jesus is saying, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The words that Jesus has spoken unto us is life. Jesus is the Word. He is life. And we have no life outside of Jesus. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We have life through the Word. We have life through Jesus Christ. We have life when we are obedient to the Spirit as he would bring forth promptings to us and speaking to us. It says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." The very God of peace. Again, we mentioned on Sunday, God is a God of love. God is a God of comfort. God is a God of hope. And here he's saying, the very God of peace. And it is four times in the New Testament where it is written, the very God of peace. God is a God of peace. So if God is a God of love and he loves us, he expects us to love one another. If God is a God of comfort, He wants us to comfort one another with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted by him. And now he's also saying that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So if God gives unto us his peace because of his promises, then we ought to share that peace that we have one with another as brethren. If we don't have peace, we won't see the Lord. We read that on Sunday, Hebrews 12:14. But if we have peace one with another, God will preserve our spirit, our soul, and our body blameless unto the coming of the Lord. We will be preserved blameless. Isn't that what we want? That our soul, our spirit, our all would be preserved blameless when the Lord comes. Our all. Other thoughts come to mind. I'm going to continue to move on here. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Our God is faithful, always. He is a faithful God who never misses, who never disappoints, who never falls short. He is a faithful God. He calls us. He's calling us into the brotherhood, and he will care for us, and he will provide for us, because that's who he is. He is faithful. The Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, pray for us." Here the Apostle Paul went to Thessalonica and preached the word to them, was persecuted. They, in turn, were also persecuted, and yet he's asking for prayers, even though he would have been over them in the Lord, yet he's asking for prayers. We all need prayers. We all need prayers. Those of us who share the Word of God, we need your prayers, that only the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ would come forth. We all need each other's prayers that whatever it is that we are doing in building the kingdom of God, that we might be strengthened and guided by the Holy Spirit and falling in obedience unto him as we labor in his kingdom, all for his glory. Then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace of God. Again, these are the things that we should be praying for. Grace for ourselves, grace for one another, grace that would help us to be faithful to him in all things, that when the Lord comes, we might be found before him. He also found right before him. He also speaks here in the previous verse, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. This is to be read to all. This is to be followed by all. This is to be obeyed by all. This is to be understood and known by all. All the holy brethren. All those who desire to serve the Lord. All those who want to be a part of this brotherhood, of this common living together, all for the purpose of glorifying the Lord, building his kingdom, living for him. The Lord is coming. Are we ready? The Lord is coming. Are we walking in these ways that are written here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? If we're walking in this way, if we're following all these things that are bulleted out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we will be ready when the Lord comes. And we will look forward to that trumpet sound when it comes. And we will rejoice greatly when we can just simply leave all the mess of this world behind and go and be with our Lord forever in the air. The Lord is coming. Are we ready? Amen.